Hi, this is Jack Vaughn. I'm with Ed Burns, and this is today's edition of the Talking Data podcast. Ed and I both went down to a conference recently, the Big Data Innovation Summit in Boston on the waterfront. And Ed, I know you made the rounds at the conference. It was pretty interesting, somewhat insightful. And I think what we saw were that those challenges to data science and business today that people are coping with. Can you run down some of what you saw?
Sure. So while I was at the conference, I was really focusing on data science, trying to get some perspectives on what's happening around there today. And heard a lot about some challenges and opportunities as well. One of the really interesting presentations I heard was from Lisa Plimpton. She's the Director of Digital Strategy and Data Innovation at the pharmaceutical company Pfizer. And so she talked a lot about the challenges that she's facing as they relate to drug discovery. And so she talked about how there's just incredible time and expense that goes into developing new drugs. But what she's looking for is new ways to speed that process up. And so what she's looking at is bringing new data types and new data sources into the mix.
So that's stuff like Fitbit and then the traditional lab tests? And
exactly. Just everything you can imagine. Social media postings, consumer data, pretty much anything that is out there in the world of data. She's looking for ways to bring into the mix. But I think what she talked about is probably a problem that a lot of businesses have today, and that's how do you make sense of such different data? How do you analyze a social media post alongside Fitbit data? It kind of doesn't really coalesce into anything naturally. But that's a main focus of what Pfizer is working on right now. Plimpton said that one of the ways that they're trying to do this is they're working with Watson, IBM's cognitive computing platform. And so you can see how some kind of artificial intelligence technology might be able to sort of, take all this stuff into some kind of black box and give some kind of answer. Who knows how well that will work, but that's one approach that that they're taking to this I think pretty common problem that a lot of businesses are facing.
And they use Watson for dealing with free text, and for example,
free text. Yep, that's one of the main things that they're looking at. One thing that she said was, there'll be all these medical studies that come out day after day after day. And it's huge amounts of free text, and it goes on to some shelf somewhere, and no one really sees it for 10 years or so. But so they're just feeding all that into Watson and letting Watson do all the reading. Same thing with medical records. A lot of the data that you find in a patient's medical record is just the doctor's free text note-taking. So, feeding that into Watson, let Watson try to find some answers.
So that's technology, and I think we saw evidence of people using technology, but also working with the processes to, have effectiveness in terms of using data science in a business manner.
Yeah, that's right. That was another big takeaway for me from the conference. I heard Vishwa Kola speak. He's the head of advanced analytics at John Hancock, the life insurance company. Obviously he's working with this like pretty far out advanced technology every single day, but the main part of his presentation was just all about how it doesn't really mean anything unless you have a good relationship with the business that you're working with.
That's like the data science group working with the business group?
Exactly, yeah. We kind of have this picture of data scientists as being these, astrophysicists off in the lab somewhere, cracking the code and doing all kinds of crazy research. But he was saying what really pays off is to have a good, tight relationship with the people that you're developing these products for. He's also a big proponent of Agile and the whole minimal viable product approach. You know, just the idea that you don't wait to have a perfect product developed. You know, as soon as you get something that can have any kind of positive impact, roll it out and don't wait for every single aspect of it to be perfect, basically.
Okay. So I'm thinking, what kind of perspectives did we pick on up on? I'm recalling that we had a Heineken. Actually, we had a Heineken representative speaking about big data.
That's right. We didn't have a Heineken at the conference.
No, that would be wrong.
That would be unprofessional. But yeah, we had Heineken's director of data science and analytics. His name was Vishanku Misra. He spoke at the conference as well, and he had a really interesting presentation, I thought, for kind of bringing a new perspective to data science. And so, again, he also talked about how there's the common perception of data scientists as being these propeller heads off in the lab, just working on research. But he was saying that we need to really bring data science back to more of a solid foundation where, it's not research so much as, they're working on real business problems. His whole thing was about actionability. He said one thing data scientists should never discount is actionability. You don't have to do fancy stuff or wait for high accuracy. If you find an insight that the business can act on, take it to them. And I think that that's a good point. You know, you don't have to wait for something that is, the quality of what you would publish in an academic journal. That's not really the point of doing data science for business. It's just as soon as you have something that someone can benefit from, take it to them.
Yeah, I caught in some of the corridors, I spoke with some of the people involved in machine learning, and I remember one fellow told me that there's a trend in machine learning now for people to try and have real-world stories and things that they can communicate simply to other people. And he said that some of the great fathers, parents of machine learning, actually used that notion many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So... if it's not doable, we're not going to do it. That would be my my motto there. But let's
good advice.
Where does data engineering come into the play? Of course, that's sort of where data engineering meets data science, in a way where the rubber meets the road. It's certainly a place that you and I kind of trade off between search data management and search business analytics, looking at that bridge between engineering and quote-unquote science.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this was something that I was thinking a lot about subsequent to the conference. So at the conference, I saw a lot of presentations related to data science. And then the week after, I spoke with Deep Varma. He's the vice president of engineering at the real estate tracking company Trulia. So as a VP of engineering, obviously, he talked a lot about data engineering. And he was talking about how... a couple of years ago, maybe data scientists had to do a lot of their own engineering. So, if a data scientist thought they had a good idea for some kind of analysis that they wanted to do, it was kind of up to them to figure out how to get the data. But now, as businesses are kind of realizing the benefits of data science, they're trying to develop a more systematic approach to how they get their data scientists the data. And so Varma was saying that today now we're seeing a lot more emphasis on data engineering and specifically the role of data engineers. He thinks that, the role of data engineers is going to kind of grow in the years ahead. He said that no one used to talk about data engineering a few years ago, but now it's a very hot topic of for conversation.
And some of this work had been thrown into the lap of the data scientists. One thing we often hear is the data scientists spend too much time pulling data together. I guess you could say spend too much time doing engineering.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, everyone always talks about the 80%, you know, data scientists spend 80% of their time just getting data. And yeah, I mean, if you're going to pay someone $200,000 a year to do machine learning and things like that, why are you having them spend all this time just figuring out how to, you know, pull data out of a Hadoop cluster? You know, that doesn't really make any sense. So yeah, just find someone else to lay the pipelines. And so, yeah, it sounded like Varma was talking about how this is going to be a much greater focus for businesses in the years ahead. Yes, data science is still very important, and it's something that they need to focus on. But in order to get the most out of their data scientists, you know, pair them with some data engineers, and then that's when things really start to click.
Well, I don't want to denigrate the efforts of people over time who did ETL, extraction, transform, and load. It took a lot of skill and knowledge, and just because it was scripting doesn't mean it's inferior. But they sort of got a bum rap, and there's been a definitely with big data, with all this different types of structures of data and Hadoop and so forth, there's been a lot of shifts in what data ingestion means. And the people, it seems, deserve a new title, and data engineer does that if they do more than what they used to do. And it's funny, just an aside, the you know, years ago, software engineering appeared as a title, and then at another point, software architect appeared in the title, and to some extent, it was a way to change pay grades and to pay people what competitively they would get as their skills matured. And I think we're seeing that with this data engineering phenomena at the moment.
Absolutely. All about keeping up with the times and recognizing people for what they actually do.
Well, Ed, if you keep agreeing with me, I'll keep doing these podcasts.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. So, folks, thank you for joining us today on the Talking Data podcast, and look forward to you being with us again.